6:6 during this tribulation period. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. That's sort of where we're living today, where it's approaching. I am convinced of this. An old timer said it years ago. I made light of it, but it reminds me today of where we are. He said, there'll be a day when you'll have plenty of money, but you'll have nothing to buy. And here during that great tribulation, you'll notice that wheat and barley is at a large price. He says, I want you to really save the oil and the wine. Isn't it amazing that the liquor stores are full? Somebody say amen. You can't get a biscuit at Walmart, but you can get a fifth of liquor. And so prophecy is being fulfilling. In your Bibles today, I'd like to preach a different sermon this morning. As the Lord has impressed my heart Friday on this thought, I want to read one verse and then I'd like to use an illustration this morning. Found over the book of Proverbs, chapter number 20, verse number 27. I wonder if you've ever noticed this verse. As I began to study my Bible, I noticed that there was great emphasis upon this subject. I've never preached from this subject or this text. But I want you to turn in Proverbs 20 and 27. And if you're willing and able, we'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse number 27. When you get there, say amen. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I'd like to read that again, then you can be seated. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time at your house this morning. We thank you for the privilege it is that we can gather in a free nation. God, would you help our president today, his mind, his spirit, his heart. Would you help him to make the decisions that our country needs? And we know it'll take you to do it. We ask you to help our nation today. We pray for our friends at Ukraine. Many missionary families, their lives have been affected. And I pray, oh Lord, you would help them. And Lord, there are people here under the sound of my voice today that they need your help. We need your truth. I pray you let preaching be easy this morning. You'd help us to be a blessing to the people of God. And I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Notice this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I won't preach on this subject this morning. Is your candle lit? Is your candle lit? A very simple subject. A simple thought, but is your candle lit? The Bible says that the spirit of man is as the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We know that man has a conscience. Every man, woman, boy, and girl has been born with a conscience. But you can't always trust your conscience because the Bible teaches that your conscience can become seared. But here the Bible is informing us and instructing us that as the Lord is in our hearts and our lives, when that candle is lit, it shows us our innermost being. And here today on the candle of the Lord, is your candle lit? I want to say, look first of all at the introduction of this candle. The introduction of this candle. As I began to study my Bible, I noticed that this was mentioned Brother Kevin, in many different passages that I really was not accustomed to using, but turn to the left in your Bible and hold your place in Proverbs. I'm going to go through real briefly, but in Psalms 18 and verse 28, I want you to look at this introduction of this candle, or we refer to it in preaching and teaching as this candle is a metaphor. In other words, it means a symbol. It's symbolic. And here the Lord uses this metaphor as a candle. This subject appears a lot in Psalms 18 and 28. Here the psalmist says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And then if you held your place in Proverbs, turn with us over to the right and Proverbs 24 and verse number 20. Proverbs 24 and verse number 20. Here again the term is used, "For there shall be no reward to the evil man." Notice that. "The candle of the wicked shall be put out." Then turn to the right, Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. Proverbs 31 and verse number 10. The Bible here speaks of a virtuous woman. And I didn't want to just use that one text where the candle appears. I'd like to read down to it because I think it's very important that we understand and we listen to what the Lord says a virtuous woman is. Who can find a virtuous woman? "For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms." Here's our phrase. "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night." So here we see even this virtuous woman or this godly woman, this picture that is given of a lady who makes a great companion and a wife. Notice that she has a candle that goeth not out by night. Her work never stops. But then we see this phrase picks up again. Look in the gospel according to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Turn with me to the right in your Bible. Luke's gospel chapter number 11. Preaching on the introduction of the candle as the metaphor. Luke 11 and verse number 33. Here's our phrase, "No man when he hath lighted a candle putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light." And here's our phrase, "When the bright shining of a candle giveth thee light." Turn to the right with me in Luke's Gospel to chapter 15. you've heard me preach out of this text. It's one of my favorite texts of Luke 15 and 8. Here we see one of the great parables. It has to do not now with the parables of the sheep, but he goes into the parable of the silver. And he says this, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, here's our phrase, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Then the last place I'd like for us to go, look in the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse number 5. In that great city where the redeemed go when they die. The Bible says there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. This morning, is your candle lit? Brother Adam, I want you to do something for me and help me in this sermon. Would you take this flower arrangement off and just sit on that pew? In the typical Baptist church, if somebody done that, they'd have a conference to vote the preacher out after service. Somebody say amen. But I'd like to put these in front of us this morning and try to use some illustrations on this candle. Now you'll notice that the Lord mentioned this metaphor many times. He used this subject, this candle. We've seen the introduction of this candle. But I asked you something, not only the introduction of this candle, what is the intention for this candle? The intention this candle. I want to say, first of all, God's intention for every candle to get lit. I want to ask you something. Has Christ, has there ever been a time in your life when He come to you by the Spirit of God, He dealt with you, you reached out by faith and you received Him as your Savior, and then you notice that after that experience with Christ, your candle was lit? Can I tell you that it is God's intention that every candle would be lit? It's not only His intention that the candle be lit, but it's His intention that the candle would produce light. If I had a handkerchief over these candles this morning, it wouldn't do much good. They would lose their purpose. So, with this intention of the candle, it's God's intention that the candle be lit. I want to ask you, are you saved? The most important question you'll ever have a preacher ask you is, are you saved and ready to meet the Lord? That's priority. We're going to meet God one day. The Bible said you must be born again. It's not an option. You must receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you must be born again. I sure am glad that He still saves those sinners this morning. And so God's intention for that candle is to get lit. His intention is to give light. I want to read something in Ephesians 5 and get into where I need to preach this morning. I want you to notice this text in Ephesians 5 pertaining to giving light. We preached out of this passage for four Sundays. You ought to know where Ephesians is. Go to Ephesians 5 and I want you to look in verse number 8. The intention of this candle is to get lit and to give light. For ye were sometimes darkness, Nobody can judge anybody. Everybody that has ever been saved, they had a past. But aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus has washed away all of our sin? You cannot look down your finger or your nose at anybody. Because this Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but watch, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Stand up and say, that's not right. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. They're revealed by light. You know something, unless a person stands up for truth, there'll be no truth revealed. You must stand up for what is right. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Oh, we need light in America in this day. We need light in our schools, light in our communities, and light in our homes. Wherefore he saith, watch this verse, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly or uprightly or wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The intention of the candle is to not only to get lit, but it's to give light. And lastly, it is to glorify the Lord. Last night, as I was searching and trying to develop this message, Miss Renee had went to bed, it was late, and I lit one of these candles. And I went into the guest bedroom, and I closed the door, and I put this candle on the dresser. Talking about glorifying the Lord, I noticed that in the stillness of that darkness and in that night, when I looked at this flame, I noticed that it continually did this. Can I tell you that God has not only lit us to give light, but He has lit us to glorify Him? Can I tell you, we always ought to be able to throw our hands up and say, thank you, God, for how good you've been to me. Now, that's the information of the candle. The intention of the candles to be lit, to give light, and to glorify the Lord. But thirdly, I want us to notice about the instincts of this candle. That's why I wanted to use this metaphor this morning so we all could see these thoughts. There is the instincts of this candle. If you'll notice this, as the candle burns, it gets smaller. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. I noticed last night when I lit this candle, I lit it maybe 2 hours before I went to bed. I was interested in the box, by the way. They are called, you may be interested in this, they're hard to find, they're called emergency candles. I like that phrase. And I got to reading on the box and trying to figure out how long they'd burn. So I lit this one last night a couple of hours when my study and came out, and Renee looked out the door. She said, I come to bed. She said, you gonna blow that candle out? I said, no, I'm gonna see how long it'll burn. But I've noticed this, that these instincts of these candles, The more they burn, the littler they get. Could we understand this morning that pride is not going to take us any place? Can I tell you, the littler you get, the bigger you get with the Lord. As long as you're puffed up in pride and conceit, we must realize, as John the Baptist cried across that river, he must increase, but I must decrease. The instinct of this candle, as it burns, it gets smaller. Number two, this candle always, always, it burns the brightest in the darkest places. Now, when I lit this on our counter, other lights in the room was on. I took this into a dark room and I closed the door, and then I actually did this that I've never done. I'm really getting old, amen. Matter of fact, you know you're getting old when your candles cost more than your birthday cake. Somebody say amen. But I closed that door and I began to just lay there on my bed and ponder and think about that one flame that was lit. And I noticed it did this a lot. It was protruding upward, but I noticed it was getting smaller as it was lit. This morning, I noticed when I went in that dark place, a little light shines so bright in the darkest. Some of you may wonder, preacher, why has God have me in a place and environment that I'm in that is so dark? The people I work with, they don't know Christ. They never have Bible devotions. They never pray over their meal. They never listen to gospel music. Preacher, why would God have me in such a place? Because it's simply this, and I begin to ponder through my years in the business world. God put me out there in a dark place because a little light goes a long way in a dark place. You know, you can take all the darkness in Carroll County, Georgia this morning, and if it was night and pour in this place, did you know all the darkness in this county of a population of about 130,000 people? There is no way that all that darkness could put out this one little light. You see, a little light goes a long way in a dark place. Talking about the instincts of this candle. As it burns, it gets smaller. It burns brightest in the darkest places. And I noticed this about it. This candle, wherever it's placed, it does its job. Doesn't matter where you place it, long as it's lit, it's doing its job. Could we be so conformed to the image of Christ that wherever life finds us, wherever life positions us, could we simply be doing what God intended us to do about the Father's business? You see, this candle has no option with this. When the hand, the owner of the candle, when he takes this candle and he places it in another direction, that candle is still fulfilling its job. Because it has no say-so where it's placed in life. Some of you have been in some dark places. Some of you, life has dealt really hard. I don't belittle that. I don't belittle the process. But I simply want to remind myself this morning, wherever it's placed, it does its job. Some of you may have retired. You're no longer in the business world. You're at home. But oh, what a great light where God has placed you to let your light shine. The instincts of this candle. It's something about this that wherever it's placed, it does its job. It really is just doing what it's supposed to do. Now, I want to mention this. I was preaching one night here at Liberty, and I looked at these candelabras, and I was preaching on the candlesticks of the church, but I noticed something else about these candles. You'll notice that when these candles are brought together, they produce more light. I used to know the number of bulbs in these chandeliers because I have the mentality that when I walk in, I see what's wrong. I could tell Brother Buddy there's 7 lights out in that chandelier. He'd have them changed, Brother Randall, by Wednesday night. I used to know how many lights was in these. And don't sit there and count them. I want you to listen to the sermon. But you'll notice if half of them went out. But if they were all together and burning, how much more does this light create? When people walk in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church, I wonder how much light of the Lord that we could really magnify on Him if we were all together. We were all shining, we were all looking upward. We were all simply doing our job together. And if you're not careful, you will allow you to take you out of the candelabra. If you're not careful, you will allow the devil to steal your place in that fixture this morning. So we see, and we must all agree, that these candles, when they are brought together, they produce a lot more light. If I took those 3 candles in my bedroom last night in that darkness, you'd be amazed at those together, how much light it would produce in that dark room. Church, can I tell you this just as a pastor out of his heart this morning? Let the past go. Forgive one another and love one another. And for Christ's sake, remember what He's done for you. The instincts of these candles. Not only as they burn do they get smaller. Not only are they the brightest in the darkest places. Not only do they produce more light when they're brought together. But there's something about this candle that I really didn't realize. With 2 candles, there's something that will happen. If you take this small candle that's lit, and you put it behind this largest candle, it produces a shadow. But if you take the smallest candle and put it in front of the largest, the shadow goes away. What are you talking about, preacher? What is your thought there? I'm talking about men of low estate. I'm talking about where the Apostle Paul, he spoke simply of preferring a brother of low degree. It ought to be our mentality this morning when visitors come into Liberty Baptist Church. And I've seen in years gone by this happen. I've seen people so rude that they said, "You're in my seat. Look around. Your name ain't where you sat this morning. That ain't your pew. You look so funny. You got mad and pouted and put that thing on top of your car and drove home with it down through Bowden, Daniel." About the Mexican red light folks say, "Lord, look at them crazy folks are going home. They took their church pew home with them." What are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about preferring one another. Even though you may be burning the brightest, maybe you're the tallest you think with God. Can I tell you, it's always God's order to put the least first. You can sing today. You can preach today. You can pray today. You can have my seat today. This morning, the instincts of this candle. Then you'll notice this. And it really got my attention. If you walk in my home, these are not scented candles. My wife, she loves scented candles. Any of you ladies like scented candles? Raise your little Baptist hands up this morning. Y'all like scented candles, don't you? Christmas, man, we had a Christmas tree candle. Miss Joyce, y'all smelt that thing. I mean, it reminded me when I was a kid. Isn't it amazing how smell takes you in your mind to different areas? Man, I remember at home, Daddy would go and he'd cut down them old cedar trees with an axe. We'd come back, we'd dress them things, we'd do popcorn all around that tree. And don't y'all get all upset with me, but we had so many mice in that old house I was raised in that eat all that popcorn off the bottom of the tree. Somebody save me. My wife now and see a mouse, man, we're going to Holiday Inn. Somebody shout amen this morning. I mean, that was just the way we lived in the country. But the smells of these candles, they're so amazing. You can get cinnamon bun cake. Man, somebody light one of them, the sermon's going to get over quick because I got a piece of that at the house. I love cinnamon cake. There's so many different fragrances, but it's something about the instinct of this candle when it is blown out. It produces a bad smell. Have you ever noticed that everything was smelling good as long as it's burning? I've been laying in the bed at night. Miss Renee had come in, we'd get ready to go to bed. I said, baby, something burnt. Y'all smell that? It produces a fragrance that's not too good. Oh, how I want my life to burn. Mom and daddies, how we need our life to burn. You know, with all the temptations that is up against this society, you have more temptations available than any society that's ever lived. The world, I don't believe, is any more wicked. It's just they have new platforms to show their wickedness. The world's always been wicked. But may my life. And I want to use this. I don't have it on my notes. Let's say that, and these aren't Baptist candles, by the way, because Baptist candles wouldn't tolerate what I'm fixing to do. For some reason or the other, your candle has went out. Why? Did you make a mistake? Everybody makes a mistake. So now you've made a mistake and you get thrown under the bus. Can I tell you, by the grace of God, this candle can be relit. Watch it. Lit right up. I remember pastoring you as long as I have. Many of you would stand. Thank Jesus how good He's been. It seems like, myself included, I've let things in life want to blow my candle out. But y'all look at this old preacher this morning because I'm preaching what I know about. I'm glad that you can do this. Lord, I need you to help me. Forgive me. And boy, when he sees that heart turned to him, you know what the mercy of God does? It simply does this. It lights that candle back again. I close with this thought this morning. Not only the instincts of these candles, but I want to close this with the inspiration of these candles. I always want to try to end a sermon on a good note. The inspiration of these candles. First of all, a candle does not lose light by lighting others. If these two candles were blown out, Miss Amy, I want you to get me an invitation this morning, sing and play for me. Let's say that these two candles were blown out. You could take this candle, light this candle, and light this candle, and it doesn't affect this candle. See, you can never go wrong being good to somebody. It takes nothing out of you helping somebody. Many people think, well, my goodness, they're such a burden. But if you really think about it, when this candle shows grace and reaches over and lights one of these other candles, it don't take any light off of this candle. It just produces more light. The inspiration of this candle. Miss Amy, if you come. I want to say this about the inspiration of this candle. Young people, I want you to watch this. I seen this in that dark room, Brother Randall, watching it last night. Watch this. The inspiration about this candle is you can say anything you want to it. It just keeps it burning. Young people, they make fun of you being a Christian. Let them talk. Just let your light shine. Why don't you get with it, candle? I am with it. I'm doing what I was intended to do. You going down there to that church where that preacher never stands still and they preaching to you out of a King James Bible? Do you really believe that? That candle still does the burning. Young people, you better learn to let them words run off your back. And serve Jesus. Let Him be the light of your life. How many times in the business world was I made fun of? Because I wouldn't drink their beer. I wouldn't buy their lottery tickets. I didn't want to listen to their dirty jokes. But you know what happened to me one day, and I'm about done preaching. All them words that was said to that candle. I had a man walked up to me out of the blue one day at a tent. I think it was in Florida. And he walked up to me and he paid me one of the greatest compliments that's ever been paid to me. And he says, "You're different." All them words they said, it don't affect them candles. They're just simply doing what they're doing. The inspiration of that candle. It don't matter what it said, they just keep doing what they're made to do. This is what I want you to see this morning. These were set in a shelf, Family Dollar, Bowden, Georgia. They're just simply sitting there, stocked. I went by, made a purchase. I'm glad he bought me. And I reached into that box of time. He pulled me out. And He lit my life. How useless are these? Unless it's lit. Now please watch this. And I'm done. I was reading a sermon. This is what got my mind to having these candles at different heights. One writer said, a candle is as an hourglass filled with sand. Young people, this may be where you are today. Middle-aged people, this may be where you are today. Us older people. This is where we are today. We know that by time, by reasoning, by the Bible. But young people, I want to caution you about this. You may assume that your candle is here and it will burn all the way to the bottom. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. But let me tell you what you're guaranteed of. You're going to meet the Lord. And you must be saved. Brother Mike. There's not a greater friend in my life. Nobody's been a greater friend to me than you have. But we're getting older now. Your life is not standing still. If I'm at this stage, I don't want to be put back in the box. Because you see, when my life is over here, the work of my candle is finished. Don't you think that it's time for you to realize life is short? I've got the greatest burden for this ministry, these people and these children that I've ever had since I've been here in 28 years. This candle has given its life simply to produce light. Oh, how we need light. I think of the older saints of God here. Some I've buried. Y'all watch this. They left out with their light burning. God help me as a husband, a pastor, as a father, a grandfather, as a man that has been saved by the grace of God, God help me to stay lit till it's all over. Miss Amy sang this morning.